Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
And Rich Hudson.
Hello.
And the BAFTA nominations are out for the gaming awards of the type of things coming later this year. Excitement.
Woo!
Yes. Chills and spills and all those type of things. Well, I rounded up a whole bunch of different categories that I think are worth highlighting, because there are something close to like 15, 16 different ones, but some of them are like best mobile game, and we don't get yeah. We're not too bothered. So the things that I've highlighted are things like the best narrative, the best overall game, the best art direction, all those types of things. So yeah, the winners are going to be revealed on the 4th of April, but I thought we'd go down through the categories and just sort of have some general thoughts on stuff. So the first one that I've got up is the best narrative. Now, this is between Florence from Frostpunk, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, Red Dead 2, and Return of the Obra Dinn.
We love a good narrative at What Culture.
I do love a good narrative.
Even the false narratives.
False narratives are all good as long as they play well, so I don't mind too much. From that one, the best narrative, I think that'll end up going to maybe Red Dead 2.
Probably.
What won it at the Game Awards? Was it Red Dead 2?
Red Dead 2 won pretty much everything apart from best game went to God of War.
God of War.
Yeah.
I think, again, we had this discussion when it was myself, Ewan, and Rach for the Game Awards. I think it's going to be, again, between, we said initially the big three, which was Red Dead 2, God of War, and Spider-Man, but I think Spider-Man's kind of not going to be involved in that category.
Spider-Man is a brilliant story in terms of like the beat-for-beat storytelling, but I think if you do like wider stuff, the narrative stuff with Red Dead, every element of Red Dead reinforces
itself.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I said back when we were talking about the Game Awards, is that I think Spider-Man ultimately has a better linear narrative, and it deserves praise for doing something so unique with that character, you know, looking kind of telling a story that we've not really seen in Spider-Man for ages. But the way Red Dead Redemption 2 tells its story through all those unique interactions with like all your supporting characters, and the way the story unfolds over the course of God knows how many hours and gigabyte files. Red Dead probably gets that in the end because it's so inventive with the way it builds its world and the story around it.
Yeah, man. All the mechanics as well, like all the stuff with, like, you know, after certain events in the story, if you want to just kind of, you know, go off and be Arthur up in the woods, like you can go up there, you'll grow your hair out, and like the way that the gameplay sort of reinforces the character, like there's lots of different things that kind of help in the wider framing of the narrative itself. I think it's worth talking about Return of the Obra Dinn, which was Lucas Pope's follow-up to Papers, Please, which is like a almost like supernatural detective type story where you play like I think you're like an insurance claimant.
Yes.
And or claim, you're like this officer that goes to this pirate ship. They're trying to like make this insurance claim, and you're basically just trying to figure out what happened on this pirate ship. But you do that through this like supernatural book that lets you kind of beam through and investigate a bunch of different detective scenarios. And the graphically it looks like an Apple II game, but it's really in depth with its clues and stuff. I think that thing has like so much to it.
I think it did win some things at the Game Awards as well. It's definitely got some very promising clout behind it, but yeah, I think it's going to be more swinging towards Red Dead.
Probably so Red Dead.
God of War.
But. Yeah. The next thing up is Artistic Achievement. This is between Detroit Become Human, Gris, God of War, Spidey again, Red Dead 2, and again, Return of the Obra Dinn. So this is a very tough category because I guess it's Artistic Achievement, but not in terms of all games are art, but in a literally art direction type sense. So for me, I'm going Gris because I think Gris is absolutely stunning. It's like watercolor painting in motion.
I was going to say God of War. Because the way it handles Norse mythology and how inherently artistic a game has to be when it's dealing with such a rich lore. So I think God of War, the way the uniqueness in which it kind of builds that world around it, I could see that getting that. I don't really see why Detroit become human is kind of,
I mean, sometimes
there.
In regards of like this like visual rendering sense, then like the sheer graphical clout of that game is like sky high because the amount of money behind it is ridiculous. So it could be something like that. And like, I guess the way that they sort of bring to life this vision of the future is, for me, wasn't very well done, but a lot of people do quite like it. But yeah, for me, it's going to be something that just has such an identifiable visual punch, which like for me would be Gris. What do you reckon, Sir Rich?
Yeah, I'm swinging again more towards Obradin. And obviously there will be art direction specifically, but like, again, for Artistic Achievement, it's the kind of thing where we'd never seen something that looks like Obradin before, and it was done so well, and the fact that I could still tell such an incredible narrative through literally two colors.
Well, it's like, it's weird, like it reminds me of like an old like dot matrix printer.
It's
like
it's a Game Boy camera 3D game.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. And I think the fact that they've managed to do something so deep and so engrossing in the same way Papers, Please did, and Lotus Pope is a genius on that respect.
Totally.
I think on Artistic Achievement I can get that, but I can see it going to something a lot bigger in terms of scale, because you've got things like Red Dead 2 as well.
I think because I forget which award Obradin won at the VGAs.
It definitely got something like art direction.
Yeah.
Like Cuphead won it the year before, and then Obradin got it last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it is like it is like a black and white thing, but it has this like powdery dot matrixy look, but everything moves so smoothly. It's so recommendable, like this weird detective story through a black and white old school lens.
Yeah.
It's great. excuse me. The next category I've got is music, which is between Celeste, Far Cry 5, Florence, God of War, and Tetris Effect.
Finally, Richard got some recognition because it was snubbed like left, right, and center Game Awards, I feel. But
do you think it'll finally get its due here, or is the competition too strong?
I hope so. Yeah. I think it definitely could be up for best music, because if you've played the game or you've listened to the soundtrack, oh my god.
It's lush.
It will ascend you to a new plane of existence.
One of the ways that it obviously, like, you know, the better you do at the Tetris, the more the score comes together. Like, it is like fundamentally tied to the game itself. But I think for this category, they're literally talking about just pure composition, like, you know, pure identifiable
elements.
Again, I
think Tetris still has got a high ranking in that, because the music is absolutely stunning.
It's stunning. There is that terrible rap song. What's that thing? It's like the third song in. Your vision. And it's like, what?
Unite the souls since there's no division. All that. What's the Pharaoh's Code?
That is horrific.
It's a bit of a weird one. And there's a level which is like jazz music, and I love jazz music. I hate it.
Yeah, you do, don't you? I thought it was great.
Do you like jazz?
I love it, but they make it so every time you move pieces and place things down, there's like a random like spluttering of piano key presses, and it doesn't sound very like it just sounds too random for me.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think Tetris is in a really good state for this, because I've been bawling about this game since it first came out, and the music and the sound design is one of those reasons why. But saying that, you say Celeste is on there.
Celeste is on here as well, which I think won at the VGAs. They definitely did a live performance. Celeste's music is lush, but my shout would be God of War.
I was going to say, I think if you're Insomniac or Rockstar, you'd be very aggrieved not to have any recognition for this. I think especially, obviously, we know that Red Dead Redemption 2's score was so... It was brilliant. It was very like orchestral and very, you know, went back, so harking cool. back to the old spaghetti westerns. But then you also had the proper soundtrack as well from like other songs. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man as well, the way they incorporate that score over the course of the game, like, I don't know about you guys, but the first moment you kind of jump off the building and start swinging, and every time you do that throughout the game, that certain score comes in where
very,
it swells.
Sam Raimi,
Danny Elfman.
It strikes me as a glaring omission.
Yeah, I wonder if it maybe just like knocked them off because it's quote unquote too obvious based on the VGAs.
What I was about to say, because like we were talking about this at the Game Awards, that the Spider-Man's inclusion is great, the music is fantastic, but it doesn't really do anything that
not
spectacular.
Too new or whatever.
It's
like
it's great when it comes in and it always seems to fit with what you're doing because you're swinging around and punching bad guys. But like in a musical sense, it's not inspired, but it's like it's not like something so mind-blowingly incredible it would deserve an award of that kind of caliber.
That's kind of what knocks God of War down as well, because I think like God of War is exactly what you expect, like, you know, big orchestral, like, you know, you've got lots of like gang vocals and chanting and stuff. It's so powerful, like it is that game in audio form, but it's been done, like, you know, it's another God of War score kind of thing. So moving on to performers, we've got Christopher Judge as Kratos, we've got Danielle Bassutti as Freya. A lot of these are from God of War. So Christopher Judge, Danielle Bassutti, Jeremy Davies, again God of War, he plays the stranger. He plays the dude that uppercuts Kratos at the beginning. I was getting her name wrong, but Milisanthi Mahout as Cassandra from Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan, and Sunny Suljic as Atreus.
Where's
Yuri!
He's not here, is he?
I'm genuinely gutted Yuri's
not
here.
That is ridiculous.
So you can have like five people from God of War, but not one fella from Spider-Man.
I think
piss off.
Yeah. In the same way as Game Awards, I think I decided as well as you that Yuri should have won.
Yuri Lowenthal should be in here, yeah.
He should at least be nominated for that.
As much as I love Jeremy Davies, dude used to be on Lost. He was one of the doctors in Lost. Can't think of his name now. Daniel Faraday. Love that guy as an actor, but the Stranger performance isn't above Yuri Lowenthal, especially towards the end of that game. Like, there's some powerhouse stuff in there.
Yeah.
But based on who is here, I think Roger Clark will get it.
I agree. I think did Christopher Judge win it at the Game Awards?
No, I think Roger Clark did
as well. Yeah, no, Roger, I think more than worthy winner for that award, because Arthur Morgan is one of the greatest protagonists of the generation, if not one of the best of all time. I think he's an absolutely compelling character. Fantastic. Easily outshines John Marston from the first game, which in itself is no easy feat.
Oh, God! Maybe?
But yeah, like, sure. I still think that Yuri Lowenthal deserves way more praise for his role. And obviously, maybe they're looking at Spider-Man and going, oh, it's just Spider-Man, and there'll be more games for him to reprise that role in the future where Arthur Morgan is a one-done thing. But I think the way Yuri kind of uplifts that character, he really provided his own spin on it, and I think that is worth recognising, even if it is just superheroes, you know what I mean?
I mean, towards the end of that game, like, I mean, we're not going to spoiler territory, but like, you know, based on where those characters end up, like, there are some really good, like, you know, you can hold up that performance towards the end and go, like, that's a hell of an acting moment, and he must have acted that through. I'm sure they scanned his face in to be Parker anyway.
Oh yeah, I mean, mocap.
So yeah, so it's like, you know, that deserves to be held up. I think a lot of the reason that Roger Clark gets recommended for Red Dead 2 is just the sheer size of the script. They had the biggest script.
Boy.
So many boys, and it's just like the size
You're
of the
all right, girl.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, like, the stuff that they brought in, like, even the fact that bois became this like notable meme. But then he was talking about recording like day in, day out for years. And so I think it might just be the most performance is what ends up getting the award for it. But do you guys both think Roger Clark as well?
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, Yuri's not on there, so my sort of main choice is...
Yeah, my only other one would be Christopher Judge. Like, I mean, it's more Kratos, but I think he obviously rounds the character out, but that's more in the script than the voice performance. But yeah, I still love what's there. So next one is Best Debut Game. Now, this is where it gets into territory where we've not played everything, but we played the vast majority. So Best Debut Game is between Beat Saber, Cultist Simulator, which I've never played, Donut County, Florence, and Yoku's Island Express. Which one stands out to you guys? I've played all these apart from Cultist Simulator.
Beat Saber.
Beat Saber's pretty solid. Yeah.
Sorry, it's called Beat Saber.
Beat Saber, mate.
Beat Saber, Ewan. Come
Tell
on.
Us about the Beat Saber, because me and Ewan don't know what this is.
Have you not seen Beat Saber?
I've seen it, but I haven't played it.
So Beat Saber's basically like VR Guitar Hero, and VR as a platform has been a weird one over the past couple of years, because obviously in a PC sense, that's where it sort of came in, and the breaking into VR can be a bit expensive depending on who you go with. Obviously Sony turned around and said, hey, we're going to do PSVR, and they made it accessible to a lot of people, and it's been a lot more successful than Sony ever could have believed. Because I mean, I think PS4s is like 92 million have shipped now.
Jeez. Only
and 91 million have been bought by Josh Brown.
And only 3 million PSVR headsets, but that is way above what Sony were initially expecting. And I think one of the reasons why that's done so well is because of those games, but one of them was Beat Saber. When that came to PS4, people were so excited. It's incredible. Yeah, it's Guitar Hero with lightsabers. You have to hit blocks in a particular direction in time with the music. And that's literally all it is.
So it's kind of like having giant drumsticks.
Yeah,
that's basically. Kind of cool.
Because one of our lovely editors, Heroes, he plays it. He swears by that game.
Yes,
he adores it. And it's. I mean, I have not played it. I don't have VR. I've never actually played VR properly.
Right.
But I know how much of an impact Beat Saber has made, and I think it would deserve an award like this because of the inroads to VR it has made. Because sometimes a big killer app in VR hasn't really been there, but Beat Saber has been the one big standout for PC and PS4. So I know it's not a VR category, but Beat Saber is definitely up there.
They could do with giving a BAFTA to something like a VR game, because for the vast majority, I mean, even if you compare the sales stats that you just mentioned, the vast majority of people don't have PSVR headsets, but reading that like something like Beat Saber is award winning might eventually usher more people in to try it. I've seen Beat Saber be played, but I haven't played it myself. I haven't played Cultist Simulator. I haven't even seen
sounds,
it.
I don't know what that is. Sounds like my shiz, I want to say.
I still live a good cult. Self-aware. So there is that Cultist Simulator. Donut County has that should have been nominated play for the best music. Donut County is you play as a hole and you have to try and suck everything up into your hole.
That's the game that's been copied over and over again by every other mobile developer on the planet.
Pretty much.
Right.
But Donut County is this giant playable metaphor for consumerism and gentrification, and it's just, there's so much more to it than its initially like weird kind of look, but it's just adorable, and the art style and the music and everything is phenomenal. My shout for this might actually be Donut County, but there's also Florence. I don't know if you guys played Florence. It's a mobile game.
Is there a machine?
It's not, there's not a machine, you'd think there would be, but no, it's Florence is the story of a relationship. It's a very, very short game. It's only like maybe an hour and a half ish. But yeah, mobile game where you play as Florence and she falls in love, and it's about playing a relationship. So you play conversations where like speech bubbles appear as if they're in like Instant Messenger, and you're trying to like sort of like tap the buttons to make them like, you know, line up faster. Trying to get across that like when you first meet someone, there's that electric sort of connection. And then the way that that like, goes through the relationship, she starts to fall apart, or the relationship starts to fall apart, and all of a sudden those speech bubbles are harder to put together. There's different modes and little bits and pieces and stuff too. You know, you draw something together and she finds it later on, and bits and pieces like
sounds
that.
Sounds traumatic.
It, oh God, it is. But that's the whole thing. It has like a big emotional kind of gut punch kind of thing, but it kind of turns it all around. It's a really lush little game. But the idea of like playing the chemistry of a relationship is something that I don't think anyone's ever done, and it's like, it's really cool. So yeah, Florence is like that. Yoku's Island Express is a pinball thing where you play as an ant trying to deliver some mail, and you bounce around the world.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, it's really neat. Like,
because it's pinball, it's cool. It just gets my intrigue.
You'd actually probably love it, to be honest. Benji, who's been on the podcast before, that was like one of his favorite games from last year. But yeah, you play as a little ant and you're trying to deliver some mail, and you do that by ping-ponging around different, like, you know, 2D platformer levels. But they're full of little like levers and they blast you different directions.
Is it as good as the seminal Ants film from the 90s?
You know what? It is.
Yeah?
Is that, I don't know if we're still holding that up, but I mean, I will hold that up. But yeah, out of all those, I guess it depends on which ones you've played. Rich, yours would be Beat Saber.
Yeah.
Mine's probably going to end up being Florence, I think, or Donut County. Based on what you've heard, you, and what would you back?
I like the donut.
I like the donut.
Yeah, yeah.
Donut's pretty good.
Next game, I have all the donuts in the world.
Just as much as you can eat for the...
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
BAFTAs. The next category I got down is the Game Beyond Entertainment, which I think is the BAFTAs attempt to sort of
Games for Impact.
Yeah. Games with a message. Like, we nearly every year it has a different terminology, but yeah, Game Beyond Entertainment. Now, I've already played a few of these, but this is between 1111 Memories Retold, Celeste, Florence, Life is Strange 2, My Child Lebensborn, and Nintendo Labo, which I think Labo is a weird fit for this.
I mean, I can kind of understand why that is there, because it involves a sense of physicality to it. It's kind of like like the a more DIY, well, literally DIY, but a more like inclusive, more mentally stimulating version of like Skylanders that has the it's kind of like Skylanders evolved into Lego Dimensions, which obviously involved building your things, and obviously Labo came from that.
The thing that I loved about Labo is once you'd built your stuff and then you just unlock like it's called the Labo Garage or whatever, and it just like it just shows you like all the computational side of it. So it's like this sensor makes this judder or this does this, and it's like a Little Big Planet style approach to stuff. It's like you can just go away and make your own firing range where if you point the Joy-Con at a thing, it'll vibrate and knock the target over or whatever. You just, it has that whole like let your imagination run wild kind of thing, and I think that's why it's in here. For the rest of it though, I mean, I haven't played, or I don't think any of us have played 1111 Memories Retold or My Child Lebensborn, but Celeste, that game for me did absolute wonders. Stunning breakdown of overcoming anxiety and depression and like fighting through and all that kind of thing. That game ruined me in a very good way.
in an emotional sense and also a mental sense for how difficult the platforming can be. I went after all the big hubbub about it winning at the Game Awards and doing various other things. Like, went and played it, and it's like, yeah, I can completely.
It's so tight.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I think I would love it if Celeste got this. I think seeing Matt Makes Games get up there and accept a bunch of stuff at the Game Awards was just heartwarming, because games like this should be held up alongside the likes of Red Dead, God of War, whatever.
Absolutely. So I mean, that's the thing, because obviously it was nominated for Game of the Year alongside them at the Game Awards, which is a huge feat. Yeah. So I think, I know there's some other stuff on there, obviously stuff we haven't played, but I think Celeste might be the shooter.
I was going to say, I think Celeste should probably win that, but I could definitely, the cynic in me is kind of saying, well, you know, Nintendo come along with this nostalgic cardboard box, but it's a video game. How quirky are we? I could potentially see that being the victor in the sense, because it's not necessarily a unique idea, but the whole approach Nintendo took towards Labo, I could potentially see that coming through.
I think the imagination side of it is totally worth championing, but the progress that something like Celeste makes is like unprecedented.
I think that's going to come down to how BAFTA have framed this.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
We're interpreting it in the same way that it's Games for Impact, which is kind of how I read that. And looking at some of these other games, I kind of feel like that's kind of
well, their explanation on the site is pretty much
that I was just going to say is that Labo to me is kind of almost contradictory in the sense that it's like Lego with instructions. We kind of had dip into a box of Lego and you can make your own thing. Labo, there is a pre-designated, like, it sells itself as this really imaginative creative thing. I'm not knocking Labo, everyone loves a little bit of Labo, but also, you know, it's not as free thinking as it potentially sells itself.
No, totally. I think it's a weird fit in this category, but I guess if you were them, it's like, where else do you put it kind of thing. So I guess it's been lumped in here. To quickly address Life is Strange 2, that game has one hell of a like racially charged message at the beginning, that just gives a hell of a punch. Like, I would rather not give away what that is, but I think that's in here because of it dives right into like racial tensions in America, and just it comes out of nowhere at the very beginning.
Well,
it's,
I mean,
brilliant.
That's Life is Strange, that's what the series
that first episode is a hell of a thing. The next category is game design, which is it like again is a nice mix of nominees, but we've actually played the vast majority of these. The first one is Astrobot, which I know Josh has been singing
that
its praises.
One best VR game of the game
apparently was. It's phenomenal. It's something like the Mario 64 of the modern day, apparently. So there's that, there's Celeste, there's God of War, Into the Breach, Minute, and Return of the Obra Dinn again.
So there's no Red Dead 2 in game design.
No.
My word.
I know. You would kind of think that it would be.
Is that due to the whole controversy over the working hours? Do you think potentially they've lost there? You don't want to praise game design.
Apparently that was very much debunked.
It was definitely overinflated.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it debunked. I would say that there was definitely conflicting reports. Yeah. I don't think it's right to kind of fall down necessarily on either side, but I do think potentially that is a mitigating factor.
Maybe. I think if BAFTA were going to take a stand, they would knock it off all the nominations. But I think for the sake of like representing the time that did get put into that, like it should be up there. I think this category, though, if you're talking game design, like if you talk about what does Red Dead offer that hasn't been done before, like it is like a perfected version
of
the first one.
It's kind of interesting to think out of those, God of War is probably the one that's least likely. It's an incredible game, third person. It's got amazing combat, but then it's like you look at the other things on there. The other things that these nominees have brought to the series. You got Into the Breach, which is obviously turn-based isometric gaming. I know that's obviously not exactly
very
so new,
calculated,
but it's so tight.
And tight. Yeah.
You've got Minute, which obviously you've been obsessed with.
Minute
as well.
Is like, yeah, is everything that you love about a Zelda or a Metroidvania condensed and just perfected. Like, yeah, there is that. Return of the Obra Dinn, obviously you have the
just
narrative
speaks
stuff.
For yourself, we've said enough about
that. Yeah, there's that, and like like even Celeste, like, you know, you're playing through like a mental struggle, like that, all those things elevate it, and obviously Astrobot as well,
but also just how good the levels are designed in Celeste as well. So
I think that's a really hard category. If you go on the pure like what does it offer on a design level, I don't know, maybe I think maybe
Obra Dinn.
I was going to say Obra Dinn, because I think like, you're right with God of War, like it is a third person action game and it has loads of puzzle elements. It does it all very, very well. I think the strength of God of War comes from the narrative sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, I think it's a nice mesh, but like you said, it's like, what does it bring to the table? Return of the Obra Dinn. Next up is Game Invasion, which again is Astrobot, Celeste, Cultist Simulator, Moss, which is another VR game, Nintendo Labo, and Return of the Obra Dinn. See, Labo fits here.
Labo fits a lot better there, but again,
Labo should get Invasion, I think.
Yeah, it could do, but then Obra Dinn again.
You're scrunching his face.
It's a weird one.
I don't think it's that innovative. I don't. Really? I think it is. It's interesting that they're applying real life toys to a video game, but I don't necessarily see
Build them yourself.
I know, but I don't necessarily see how that works in the context of video game and innovation. Like, to me, these are just basic real life things that you stuck to a video game and recontextualized an already present thing. I think if something is to be innovative, it has to be bringing something entirely new to the table, and we've already seen toys to life before.
Oh yeah.
Even if it is different with Labo, I don't necessarily see it as being as innovative or as unique as. Yeah,
the things that they try to do in terms of making it like new is that they'll show you like what the sensors can see, so you're sort of like, as you're playing with it, you're seeing on screen what you're affecting and what different, like, you know, different sensors, like the IR sensor is picking up and stuff like that. So like they do try,
I mean, I fully realize I'm busting out the bloody beard wax right now, and like the hipster glasses, but you know, I just don't think it is as groundbreaking as it's kind of being held.
I agree with you, Ewan. But I think for the sake of the, because obviously these are annual awards, for the sake of what could really be taken as something completely different we weren't really expecting last year, I think it could still definitely be up there. I think my shout would still probably be Obra Dinn.
Yeah.
But I think I do completely agree where you're coming from here. There's not much Labo can do. Obviously, Labo have said they're doing the VR thing, which I've got a weird feeling.
Strap a switch to your face.
I will get.
You like
it
having eyes, do you?
In the same way that they did the wheel and the bike support for Mario Kart. If they brought in Mario Kart VR with the VR Labo, I'd be all over.
They needed to do Mario Tennis because it was like the virtual boy.
Virtual boy.
Yeah, just that's
but that means having to play Mario Tennis Aces.
You can just see
Luigi doing the death stare in Mario Kart right in front of you.
Be Luigi doing the death stare. That's the best thing.
I would like.
No, I think longevity wise. Yeah, it doesn't get very far, but I think for the sake of an award like this, it's like, hey, there was something really different this year. Labo could be with a chance. I think
Moss might sneakily take it, because that's
is that the one with the mouse?
Yes, a third person platformer, but you play it when you're in VR, you play it as the size of a human, so you're leaning down to sort of like look into different levels,
kind of in the same way we had that Minecraft demo with the HoloLens
thing,
inside the buildings and things.
Yeah, and it's like, in terms of like pure perspective, that seems to pull something off that I haven't seen any other VR titles do, like on this level with this amount of budget. Obviously Astrobot is apparently phenomenal, but I think Josh has played it, but that's about it. But yeah, like that's really good. That's a really good category. So yeah, what would you guys shout be for the most or the best innovation?
Not Labo.
Like I said, maybe Labo, more so Obra Dinn.
Yes, I think I'm actually going to go Moss, but I would love it if Labo got it, because it's such a cute little thing. But it is also,
that's what they're banking on, Scott.
I know, but I'm a sucker for the cute things. So best multiplayer games, for the sake of highlighting what would be the best mobile game, I'm going to say Florence, but that's like the only thing that stands out. Multiplayer games though, would be A Way Out, Battlefield 5, Overcooked 2, Sea of Thieves, Super Mario Party, or Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
What, Battlefield 5?
I mean, I'm thinking more A Way Out.
Why not?
I mean, I know that it's a multiplayer game, but A Way Out doesn't really put itself across as
a co-op
multiplayer
game. I mean,
again, I don't know if they just didn't know where to put it.
What nominations again? It was
A Way Out, Battlefield 5, Overcooked 2, Sea of Thieves, Super Mario Party, or Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
A lot of those are co-op experiences, and I think if we're going to have multiplayer in the sense of, you know,
what we know to be multiplayer, even
if I don't necessarily think that Apex Legends is fantastic, I think it definitely deserves nominating this.
Oh hell yeah!
And yeah, that's
probably outside the window of nominations.
Potentially. And I'm happy there's no Fortnite on there.
It's weird.
Well, it was on the best ongoing game.
It's weird for me because I think that is there a best ongoing game category?
There was, but I cut it out of these here discussions.
Well, I think that if we're going to talk about best multiplayer games in the BAFTAs, I think, and awards seasons in general, I think that these ceremonies need to recognize that multiplayer games are now platforms that are constantly evolving each and every year.
Totally.
And yeah, I'm completely perplexed by Battlefield 5's inclusion.
I think Battlefield 5 throws me for a loop. I think in terms of them recognizing recognizing games as a service. That's what their best ongoing game thing is. But Fortnite will just dominate that. In terms of the like best head-to-head stuff, out of that lot, I guess I'd pick Smash Bros.
I would say Smash, but also I think Super Mario Party could be up for it as well. Because interestingly, when you look at the sales of Super Mario Party, they are very good.
Oh yeah,
very good.
Like,
I mean,
the
admittedly,
randomness.
It's Mario Party. It's fantastic. It's but like, I'd personally say Smash. I'm kind of happy Black Ops 4 isn't on there.
Okay.
Because of how much Activision and there's the unknown as to how much Treyarch are deliberately going out of their way to make things worse for players. But that game has gone completely down the toilet.
I haven't played it in a while, but
I haven't played it in ages.
Right.
Just in more in terms of the monetization and everything like that, it's gone really down the toilet. It's really predatory at times. Right. All the stuff that was promised that wasn't going to be like this, wasn't going to be like that, is now like this or that. And I'm guessing that was because Activision lost Destiny. So I'm quite happy that that's not been nominated.
Can you still pay for a reticule?
Yes.
Oh, good.
They put supply drops back in and it's all like, hey, you remember when we said you'd unlock characters in Blackout by progression and challenges? No, loot boxes. they've changed everything.
I wonder if that stuff's
the whole game is completely different. And
maybe
awful.
That's why it's not on.
And that's what I mean.
Thing.
That's why I'm happy.
Now
not
that you mentioned this, I'm struggling to think of a multiplayer mode that released this year apart from Apex or the last year for that fact that I really genuinely thought this is compelling. Every single multiplayer game that I played in 2018 and 2019 has been from a game that released years before.
Very
Siege and even Battlefront 2 I think is having a bit of a resurgence now. Yeah. So I think maybe this just kind of speaks to the complete lack of strength of that genre at the moment.
I absolutely adore A Way Out, but I wouldn't call it the best multiplayer game. It's more like a story.
I definitely think it's probably more so Smash.
Yeah, probably be Smash.
Or Mario Party. If it went to Battlefield, it'd be like, okay, so do you look at like 1,000 people and say that's a lot of people?
I mean, maybe if they're all paying their way. So the final category is the best game. Now, this is between Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Astro Bot Rescue Mission, Celeste, God of War, Red Dead 2, or Return of the Obra Dinn.
Ooh.
So best game.
Red Dead 2.
Red Dead 2.
Yeah?
I'm going to Or maybe God of War. I think it's going to be another tie. 50-50.
It'll be very, very close.
Very tough.
Because the VGAs gave it to God of War, I think they might give it to Red Dead 2.
Yeah, and I think if God of War is to win, they'll do it for the same reason that VGAs does, is because God of War is very self-aware. There's an entire meta nature to the series there, and kind of reappraising the development of the video game medium from the early 2000s through to where we are now. So in that sense, I could definitely see the BAFTAs going to that and going, in terms of video games, you know, kind of having their self-aware moment, God of War probably fits that. But I also think that Red Dead 2 completely transcends how you tell stories in video games. Because God of War 3, God of War, sorry, just because that ended up reappraising the series, I don't necessarily think that means that it is automatically the best game of the year. I think Red Dead 2 needs to be assessed for what it achieved, and for that reason should win.
I think on my side, I think God of War, like it's the things you can hold up that you can praise God of War for are more rooted in it being a game, like the medium of
gaming. That's what I mean. Yeah.
But I think that's the thing for the BAFTAs. Like, obviously, they're the Academy of Film and TV, so maybe they're more slanted towards storytelling and that kind of stuff. And Red Dead is on another level altogether in that regard. So it might end up being Red Dead 2. Richard, do you think Red Dead 2?
I'd say, again, Red Dead 2 or God of War. I'm not surprised that Spider-Man isn't nominated, because again, as we've already discussed about
they really
Spider-Man.
Don't like Spider-Man, do they?
I think the reason why, I was just thinking when you guys were talking, the idea that Red Dead 2 and God of War are still kind of making waves. They're still present in the in the mind of gamers all over the world, whereas Spider-Man isn't as much as it's incredible, and there's still people picking up and playing it now. I think the DLC season has.
I was just going to say the DLC probably has an impact.
But I still haven't finished the DLC. I loved Spider-Man, and I played the first chunk of the DLC, and then I haven't. Because I got the season pass, but I haven't played the other two.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, it's sort of disappeared out of the game's consciousness a bit more. And in that respect, I kind of understand that it's not been nominated. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see something like Celeste or Obra Dinn.
Oh, God, I'll probably weep if Celeste
wins. It would be incredible. And I don't know what the BAFTA's track record is like in terms of these kind of like the big awards as to whether they have gone and said, hey, it's going to be this. Which is completely unexpected in the same way Golden Joysticks gave Fortnite Game of the Year last year.
That's
public voted, but like, I don't know what swing they might take, but I think everything on that is definitely going to be down for best game. Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I was going to say, I'd be happy with all of them apart from Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but for the vast majority, I think it'll be either Red Dead or God of War.
It's a bit random that only gets nominated for best game and not doesn't break its way into any other category. It's very odd.
So those have been our thoughts on the video game BAFTAs. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford. You can find me on Twitter at @LP89, and I've been joined by Ewan Patterson.
And you can follow me on Twitter at @EwanRuinsThings if you do so choose.
And Rich Hudson.
And you can follow me on Twitter at @PickUpChangeToe.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.